Okay, so we'll pick it up right after the battle. You're returning back to the city. We'll say sun is going down. I don't remember 100% because I haven't edited that episode yet, but I think it would make sense that it would be like dusk. The scouting parties are coming in for the evening. You're returning with Yor, who went out with you. Battered, banged up, worse for wear. And you're returning back inside the city gates of Blackgate. And I won't waste any time. I'll just bring Braz right back to the table. Welcome back with us, Braz.
Hey, Braz!
Hey, everyone.
Good to be back.
As the four of you enter through the tunnel that brings you into the Rebel Enclave in Blackgate, Zarkon is waiting for you. And your party looks beat the fuck up, Zarkon.
So, Zarkon barely notices that you are all beat up. You can see that he is preoccupied, and if he was, even though he's a crystal dragon, if he wasn't, he would be white as a sheet. Looking like he's probably nauseous. Kneeling on the ground.
Zarky, you look like I feel.
You okay?
No. No, I'm not.
Where have you been?
I needed to find a temple. I needed to commune with my icon. I'd asked Lord Braslands for the nearest house of worship, and luckily there was a modest temple that was kept for prayer. I went in, and I immediately felt peace and being able to commune with my deity. And then I saw it after some meditation. Arcadia, lying in ruins. The heavenly fields of the dwarves, just completely destroyed.
Was it a real vision, or was it a future? A possible future?
I don't know. But Goros was here, and he left behind a trail of destruction. The once vibrant forests, they were scorched, lifeless. Their ancient trees reduced to smoldering husks. Stagnant pools of darkness were once where rivers lay. But that's not the worst part of it. After all the destruction that I had seen, I saw Goros. And he was standing above the bodies of the Cloud King, the Wind Queen, the Lightning King, and the Rain Queen, which is the royal court of Arcadia. He had destroyed the icons of the dwarves. And I also saw a horde of undead dwarves march behind a dragon half red and half skeletal, almost as large as the mountain itself.
What we need to find out if this is actual fact or if this is a possible future.
It seemed as though before I finished my meditation, the dragon looked at me.
Like it saw you?
Perhaps.
Oh, goosebumps on the entire right side of my body.
Goros isn't satisfied with just Aranis. He wants everything above and below.
What the hell kind of hole does he have in his soul that he needs this?
A large one. When he saw you, is that when you came to?
Yes.
Well, jeez, I didn't think the stakes could get any higher than this.
This is an affront to all cosmic forces.
So these are gods, right? These are actual
icons.
Gods?
These are icons.
So what if gods he found mode. Somebody who worshipped to them, right?
I would need to, yes, because I need to confirm what I saw. And we will need an alliance of icons.
So, theoretically, you pray to your god, right? And your god answers you.
Yes.
So if you pray to your god answers you. You feel a presence of your god. If he is standing over their bodies, that means whoever prays to them would not get any more answers.
Yes, I would need to confirm. Vin, in your world, would these particular icons have clerics?
Yes.
Or paladins?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
I would need to find either a cleric or a paladin, a follower, and see what effect my vision could have had.
Yeah.
When I went to the temple, then, were yes, there sir. Other people around? Were there other worshippers, or was it really like just me?
No, there were other worshippers. There were people praying to their own individual icons. There were a few non-denominational clerics there.
Did I see worship departments, whatever you want to call it, like sections for these particular icons?
Oh, to those particular ones? No. All of the section, it's structured to be a non-denominational space. Okay. So anybody with any sort of good aligned in their heart icon could come there and say their prayers and commune if they wished.
Would I have remembered any symbols that anyone who was in the temple had that would correspond?
Make a... Let's go... At this point, you're trying to recall information, so make a history check. You were fairly single-minded going into the temple, so this is like a retroactive passive perception.
Mm-hmm. Retroactive wow. passive perception.
But we're going to go... We're going to call it a history check.
Ooh, that's good.
Ooh.
27.
Ooh!
The mug of coffee is falling down in the usual suspects.
There was nothing there permanent. Like, you didn't see any engravings or any statues. You did see a few remnants of, like, prayer ritual components in some of the alcoves that you do recall might have been, like, oh, that, I think, is for the Lightning King.
Well, what I meant was, if there was people there, I wanted to notice, like, did I see anybody with, like, holy symbols?
Oh, okay.
Like walking around with, like, amulets or holy symbols.
With a 27? Yes. I will say with a 27, you certainly did. You remember a fairly large Luxodon who was coming out as you were going in. And he...
Elephant.
Yeah, humanoid elephant. Okay. And you do recall seeing an amulet around his neck that had, like, falling rain, which you recognize as the Rain Queen.
Okay. I do remember someone, a Luxodon, possibly have the symbol of the Rain Queen. I'll have to find out who that is. Do you think Brasslands would know?
Have we seen any Luxodons walking around? I'm guessing they're rare.
I haven't noticed.
All of you can make history checks.
Retroactive passive perceptions.
And we're going to call it, and you're going to be rolling history. So this is fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah!
Yeah.
14. Yeah. With a minus one.
19.
I have a 20.
Okay.
I'm going to use my new die. Oh. 18. Rolled a
7. Okay. Only Orchestrion.
Yeah.
Okay, so
20 was the DC. Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember. You remember seeing a humanoid elephant.
Maybe I saw them in the tavern or something.
Yeah, maybe you're thinking the tavern. They were. Oh, there was that elephant guy there that night with the furball comedian who was bombing. Yeah, he was there. I remember.
Oh yeah.
So, noodles. Yeah, we can. I wouldn't know where he lives though. Like, we could just sort of ask around.
That's what we'll need to do. Yes,
we'll need to go to the tavern.
Yeah, we'll need to do it now.
If you didn't notice. Zarky, we're a little messed up right now, so could you get a little sana sana culito de rana with us?
Was that bard speak for healing?
Yes.
Yes, I can heal folks. What are we looking at here?
I'm down half.
Let me see. You know what then?
Is that bard speak?
Feel it? Alright, so, you know what then? I'll actually take the time to do this.
Yours almost out. Yeah. He used a lot of healing spells on you guys.
It's late enough that we can, like, try and do something and then rest.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Which I feel
if we want to roll hit die, if we want to sit, like, while we were having this conversation, if we can say retroactively that we got a short rest, I can do my thing where everyone can get an extra hit die.
I'm gonna use my sixth. I'm gonna use my sixth level spell slot.
All right.
And we'll do prayer of healing.
Okay.
So that's 6d8 plus 5.
Okay. And I can. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm saying you guys went to the. We'll say you guys found it. Met up at the tavern that was there. The laughing. Shit! What the hell did I name it?
That's an interesting name. The laughing shit, what the fuck did I name it? That's a very interesting.
Laughter's Chapel.
So you said Laughter's Chapel.
5d8 plus 5.
Yeah, I'll get my hands.
He rolls.
Yeah, he rolls for it.
Fuck it.
He'll tell you what it is, and then if you do the hit die, you've got your thing.
Yeah.
But let's see. This might be good enough to get you guys up and going for a little while.
I also figured it would just make sense in context.
All right. Oh, I see some big numbers.
Eight.
Ooh, eight.
10, 21. Everyone gets back 25.
Damn.
With it.
Okay. 30. Excuse me. Because it's plus 5. So everyone gets back.
That didn't suck.
No, that does not suck at all.
Not at all.
How's everybody doing?
Much better.
Much better.
Okay. Yes.
Much better. I'm within 10.
Alrighty.
I mean, I'm within 30, but I'm good.
About 20 something.
Alright.
I'm fueled by adrenaline. It's because I kicked ass.
You did, actually. Thank you for that.
If we're reminiscing and, like, actually telling.
Zarkon.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I was going to say Zork. Apologies. If we're actually, like, sitting down and telling him what we've been doing this whole time and, like, everything that we've been working on, I will actually say to Ashley, like, I noticed you really doing an amazing job in that last combat. Like, you look like you're super focused right now.
That's what happens when you have no fear of death.
No.
I think death is honestly inevitable, guys. Sooner rather than later. We're sitting in a place that is clearly a ticking time bomb.
Well, we also have to remember that at this point we might be fighting for death itself, because looks like there might not even be a place to go to after death if we do not succeed.
Or chills. Literal chills!
Yeah. What she said.
I just want to be with my wife and daughter again, and if they're not, and if we're fighting for their afterlife, then I'm all in.
It's a beautiful way of saying it.
Mm.
Yeah. As someone who's seen other sides, it's definitely a noble cause to fight for.
You've given me hope that I will see them again.
We still should have time here, though.
We have to think about the ramifications if we're able to pull off what your master plan is. If we actually go back in time, we won't exist, guys. Our loved ones won't exist. Their heavens won't exist.
But if everyone else's will.
But if he goes back in time, would he have the idea to go back in time in the first place? If he changes history?
If he changes history, he won't need to.
Yeah. I think that. I think if he goes back in time and changes history, Chronomancy would never exist. And the spell to bring us back will never exist, ever.
So then would that not create a paradox? If the spell does not exist to bring us back, then...
Time moves forward no matter what. I think time moves forward no matter what. For us, time will always be moving forward. For them, time will always be moving forward. Our time going forward, even though we're going to be jumping to a place in the past, it's still moving forward. Every second that ticks by continues to tick by. Just because I have now surrounded myself in the past, my time continues to tick in the same direction.
But if you affect the thing that brought you to that place, would you still be brought to that place?
This is hurting my head.
Yeah, me too. I want a drink, actually.
Yeah, I'll have a drink too, because I don't know if this is going to work now.
I think this calls for a drink.
Yeah, let this.
Okay. Like, I think we should all start getting drinks.
Let's go to the laughing chapel.
The laughter chapel. I'm going to say you're already in it. Yeah. That's where the short rest happened. He did the prayer of healing. You had your conversation.
And Tom is trying very hard not to meta some Doctor Who shit.
My eyes are glazed over.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna take my standard cup of tea and I'm gonna like take some of yours and just pour it into my tea.
Okay, now Melody, look at you.
I feel like you can tell the reactions of time travel by the fandoms that people like at the table.
Is this Terminator 2 rules? Is this Marty McFly rules? What is this?
So my father kind of makes a joke. My actual father makes a joke saying that time travel exists. Time travel exists right here, right now. And I go, what are you talking about? Go ahead. He goes, right now, we're traveling through time. Mm. We're just going one way. So that's why I'm thinking that Malady's concept of that is my time is continuing to travel in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm jumping, but I'm going to still continue in one direction.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from the DC anime sort of, where it's like, if you affect time, you create a branch of another timeline.
A branch?
Yeah, because basically it's like, if you go back in time and affect something, you essentially create a new timeline. because the original timeline has to still exist for you to be able to go back.
Understood.
So it's like, so that's where you get like if you're like a Dragon Ball fan, like Trunks.
Yes.
Okay. It's like he goes back in time, but he doesn't destroy his original timeline. He creates a new one that is affected by his actions.
You could almost think
and then he goes back to his old timeline and fixes stuff, but the timeline itself still exists.
Right. This is basically like the premise
of Jeremy
Baramy. Yes. Or the premise of Loki.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Time travel paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Alkestrian would just say, well, when this is all said and done, and if we are around and alive, I know a great bookie that we could... Never mind. Well, on the overs and unders.
I'll pretend to slap him.
No, I think it's just we're all getting a little punchy with our drinks right now. That's what I gotta think of it. I do think it's worth exploring more into it, but I mean, this world is gonna eat itself up real soon. Real soon.
But we're gonna be able to stop that, because I have faith.
I mean, the argument is, do we or don't we? And I think the end result is going to be the same either way.
So if you're thinking that this world would still exist, but we are just kind of allowing us to have a reset and a possibility of going into another world, isn't it worth it at that point? Isn't it still worth it?
I agree.
I also think it's worth trying. Fine, it's a paradox. Fine, we all explode.
What's the alternative?
What's the alternative? We're going to explode either way.
Exploding now?
Die in a pile of cinders by his dragon breath, or...
poof out of existence.
Honestly, I don't see any other way of my life ending other than death within the next year of my life.
Well.
No? You don't see it?
You get a little bit more hopeful than that. I'm glad you didn't say 6 months.
6 months to a year. That's my prognosis for my life.
Kestrion's trying to be upbeat here. Y'all?
I'm trying to be logical. If I get excited about me growing old with gray hair and sitting on a porch somewhere, I'll just disappoint myself.
I feel like...
I take exception to that. As you look at yours gray hairs.
You've done...
You wear it well. You wear it well. You're good.
You've done your
duty. What icon did your worship?
Jaren, the icon of protection.
Orchestrion is seeing a general mood on, like, the seriousness of this. So we're in the tavern. It's probably late at night, but there's probably still people around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm like, well, you know, I need to liven this up a bit. Pulls out my, whatever, medieval ukulele thing. Goes up on stage, and I start, like, well, everyone, a little company music, and I do a, like nice ditty, upbeat. Start, like, trying to...
Make a performance check.
Sure.
I think Malady is going to sit crisscross applesauce on her chair.
Okay.
And kind of just put her head back and just listen to the music.
28.
Oh, and it is awesome. You are freebirding this up.
He's going to be talking about when they saw Orchestrion live at the Fillmore.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Back in 69.
Mad Dog's an Englishman open for you.
I hardly remember that. Because it was the 60s. Yeah, I just want to, like, bring up the mood. It's been too serious. I'm like, let's do this. And I'm trying to, like, cheer everyone up.
And it is a lively performance. Good. People are super into it. Even by Orchestrion's own high standards.
There we go. All for it.
I'm keeping my eye out for the... elephant.
Noted. Malady.
Yeah.
Yor stands up from the table. Well, if shit's gonna go sideways, I suppose it doesn't make much sense for me to be outside the city. Let's, I'm gonna go get my gear. Bring it in the walls.
Let me look at my spell slots.
Which, would you mind accompanying me, Malady?
Of course. When we get there and we pack up, I can teleport us back.
In that case, we should be back within a half hour rather than an hour. And your
unless we're going to get attacked tonight, and then maybe I should save that spell.
I would have no way of knowing that.
I say go for it.
Right? Go for it, right?
Yeah.
Let's see how dangerous it is getting there. Go ahead, come on, let's go.
Okay. You and your leave. I'll say it's not dangerous at all.
Oh, okay.
You're able to get to his hut. And you're just staying in the tavern looking for the Luxodon.
Yes.
And I have their largest tankard of their strongest beer.
Fair enough.
10% triple IPA. The big guy out. Or something.
All right.
I always roll. My first roll of the day is always with the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big I like guy. The iridescent.
What's up?
I like the iridescent.
Yeah, it's cool, ain't it? MLBB. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're in the tavern about 40 minutes. Orchestrion has taken his first intermission and has rejoined you at the table. It is full dinner rush inside Laughter's Chapel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst the rush, which actually, no, technically, if it would only take a half hour, you guys would be back then. I'll switch back. I'm going to go to, we'll do Malady first.
Oh, jeez.
Because if that's the timeline, then you guys would make it back. So you get to his little hut. He does his casting to take down the glyph of warding. The trap door open. The drawbridge door opens. You go in, and he begins packing. And he's suiting up. You see him put on his... He's got his old armor on. He's got his old helm on. His warhammer. Please forgive me, but I didn't tell you everything before. I needed to make sure that you were strong enough in battle before I could trust you with the rest of this.
Okay.
And seeing you and your friends fight, I'm confident you're ready.
We're actually much better than we normally were. Like we're better than that.
So am I. I understand. Oh, it's been a while for me.
Mm.
And he gives you a leather... it looks like one of those old, like, doctor's folders that would open up and there'd be, like, a scalpel and this and that. And
oh,
that.
Okay.
But when he opens it up, there's only two items inside of it. And it's two large, like, Trapper Keeper binder-sized pages.
Hmm.
And those on one side, there's on each side, there's a little leather loop. Okay, and there's, like, a little string that keeps it attached inside of it. On one side is a little vial about an inch long and, like, several millimeters wide.
Okay.
Of red sand.
And particles. Sorry.
It's okay. And on the other side is a translucent pink gem. It looks like... it resembles an open book. It's clearly a gem, but it looks like a book that's being held open, and there's cloudy gray markings on it that kind of resemble the words on a page.
But it's a pink gem?
It's a pink gem. These are two of the three components you're going to need. Material components you'll need to cast the spell.
What are they?
This is sand from an hourglass that I took at the direction of Pox while she was still with us. This is an item from her inventory called the Book of Abrafo. It's a magical gem that you'll need. The final component would be an item from the time and place you're traveling to. She never trusted herself with them and asked me to have them for safekeeping. And he extends it to you. And I'm emailing you the Book of Abrafo.
Okay.
Obviously, it requires attunement.
This gem grants you a +3 to spell attack and damage rolls. While attuned to the gem, you gain a +1 to your armor class. While attuned to this gem, you cannot be blinded, charmed, deafened, frightened, petrified, or stunned. Heyo. You can use an action to cast Contact Other Plane once a day. Fucking A.
Holy shit.
So I'm not attuned to it yet.
No, you'll need an hour to attune to it. So, with that said, what do you say we go save the world?
You're making me nervous.
How could you be nervous? I already failed once.
But if we fail now, there literally will be nobody else to even try.
There's no one else to try right now. The alternative is sit on your hands and do nothing.
I agree with that sentiment completely.
And if not you, who?
I'm just so scared I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm scared this is all bluster. I'm not going to actually be able to do any good.
I've been scared for 30 years. I'm scared right now. The only way out is forward. Or perhaps back.
No, we were just having a conversation about this. Forward is the way to go. Forward is the way back. Come on, let's go. And I'll start explaining my theory on time travel to him as we're walking back.
Okay.
Oh, you're not teleporting now?
I think we'll walk back. If it was safe coming here, let's walk back just in case.
Okay. In which case, you wouldn't be there when this happens. Fuck, but it's
teleport,
all right.
Teleport!
No, it's
teleport.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine. So back to the Laughter's Chapel. To Laughter's Chapel, excuse me. So after 40 minutes, Orchestron is taking his intermission. He's rejoined you. Dinner rush. The place is in full dinner rush right now. Brass Lance has come down. He's at his table with Ignis and several of his other people. When a Luxodon bursts into the room.
Bursts?
Yeah. Comes running in. He's very large. You're surprised you didn't remember him right away, Orchestron. And even Ashley, you're like, how did I miss this guy the first time? Because he's huge. He's like 8 feet tall.
I was most likely reading.
And you can tell, like, there are streaks down his face where you can tell he's been sobbing. And he runs right over to Brasslands. And he is speak, yell, sobbing the way he's talking. He says, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm useless to you. And he begins, like, stripping off his armor, like right there on the spot. And Brass, hold on, Talios. What are you talking about? You're useless to me. And he's like looking at his hands. I can't do it, sir. I don't know what happened. I've lost my powers.
Do I see this?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Everyone sees it. The action has stopped. And everyone is like looking at this interaction.
I will walk over and I will say, I think I may have an explanation.
Hold on. And he's like, Talios is like, the Luxodon is like kind of trying to bury his head into Brasslands, which is amusing because Brasslands is a dwarf and he's a giant Luxodon. Mm-hmm. So he's sort of like doing a there kind of thing to him, and he's looking up at you. How could you explain this, Archon?
Noodles.
There's a lot.
Or do you want me to roleplay it?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
But yeah, I'll and I will assure the Luxodon, you have done nothing wrong here. Your icon was taken from you.
You see, Brasslands gets white as a sheet, and Nevia, the half-elf cleric, who was part of his A-team, as well as Ignis, who is a paladin, both of them are like exchange like knowing glances, like, what the fuck? Like, what? And there's just like this hush of silence over the place. Brasslands for a split second, like you can see him like remember that. Oh shit! Like I'm the leader here. I gotta pull it together. Well, maybe you can't do that flame of yours anymore, Talios. But you're far from useless. Put that armor back on. Give me that weapon. You see a T-Rex, the half orc fighter. The one that you don't use. And he has this this blade that he always has, that this long sword that he always uses that he's referred to as the Moon Blade. But he has a maul that he keeps with him that he hardly ever uses because the sword is his weapon. Yeah, that one. Give me that. And Brasslands, the weapon's almost as big as him. And he just sort of extends it to Talios. You're going to be a different kind of fighter now, sir. But you're far from useless.
I'll bring him aside. Not Talios is the...
That's the Luxodon.
I'll bring him aside. I'll say, Talios, your faith was strong. Your faith is strong. And while your icon is gone, not all of them are. Faith has led you down this path. If you wish for it to continue, there are others who can illuminate said path and take you beyond. If you wish for your fire to return.
All right, maybe. It's a lot to think about right now.
Yes, I understand. Take your time.
Okay. I think I need to walk this off. And boom, 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 boom. And now, enter Malady and Yor.
Hey, guys! What did we miss?
Orchestrion is going, noodles.
Yeah. It was a thing.
That's not good at all.
No,
guys.
No.
So what you're trying to tell me is all the shit that you saw actually happened, and Goros looked right at you. I am surprised you're still alive.
Orchestrion then has a question about that. He saw you. Would he be able to know where you are now?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be honest with you. If he can walk onto any of the planes of the icons and lay waste to multiple realities, I would assume that I could be under his snout and not even know it. Any of us could at this point.
He basically murdered four gods, so. Yeah,
well, like,
there we go. There we go.
You saw no other planes, right? It was just that plane?
Just that plane. But still, that's four incredibly powerful deities that... Did he even look injured at all?
Not really. He straight up murdered four gods and then just Night Kinged the dwarven angels that live there.
Okay. Well, guys, this is getting fun.
Yeah.
All right, so let's focus up. What's our checklist? Let's get this done, in and out. Divide and conquer. Let's fucking move it.
M'lady?
Yeah?
I think our checklist for today would be to get some rest so we're capable of being fresh tomorrow.
But now, these dragons are coming. We know they're coming.
Yes, and we need to be sharp when they're here. So we need some rest.
He's right.
I feel like I'm sitting in a ticking time bomb.
Oh, we are. You're not wrong. You're valid. You're valid.
Your feelings are valid.
Oh, thanks. All right. I'm going to go pass out because I don't think a restful sleep is going to happen. I think it's most likely going to be a... until I just fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I will join you in rest later. I'd like to call all of the paladins, clerics, druids, anybody who is in the room.
Okay.
For a strategy session.
Okay. Okay, Ignis will join you, Nevia, Pandora will join you, and there's a few others of the cleric and paladin persuasion that will join you in a strategy session. Brasslands will want to call one himself that he'll invite all of you to when you're done. And his A-team and Ignis as well. He wants a strategy meeting with all of you as well.
I'm sorry, before you do that, I think I have a weird idea, but I'm not a very spiritual person. So what about if you, like, everybody here, what if you, like, jump to the most obscure, random, like, never heard of god that's like a small, piddly god, but is worthy of giving you powers, and you all jump ship and contact that god and say, we need your help. Because theoretically, he would be the lowest guy on Goros' to-do list. And then this way, you can all keep your powers, but not be as seen because it's a little tiny itty-bitty god. Is that, possible?
Would that be something that I would know?
You mean like who the icon in question she would be talking about?
If even something like that would work. Like... Where, you know, because I don't know how power of belief works in your world. Like, do the gods get their powers from how many beings believe in them? Or are they just...
I feel if I was, like, a nothing god and I only had, like, 10 followers, and then all of a sudden I had a group of 50 people being like, I need help, I'd be like, yo, I'm over here.
Okay.
I see where your head's at.
And it's
worth exploring. Yes.
Yeah, I'll
I just don't know if that's how it works.
The icon of ashtrays and crossing guards.
Like, are we talking like American Gods rules? Are we talking like, if we do that, would the icons get jealous that we're leaving all of them en masse? Like, oh, sorry, y'all died. Like, some of you died, but we're just gonna leave.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That is a potential risk.
We're gonna fucking Lehman Brothers this shit. And just, clients be pulling their money. There's gonna be a run on this bank. Like, I don't know if, like, the other icons will be upset at us for doing that.
That is a risk. Man, that is definitely a risk.
Maybe you contact them first, Evan. And just be like, hey.
Explain.
Just be like, hey, no hard feelings, but I think you're about to die.
Although, I think you might be onto something. And I have an idea for a plan.
I just wanted to give you the idea. I know you're better at the plans than me.
Okay, what's your idea?
Based on what you said... If we find an icon who is on a plane that is forgotten, not really noticed, could we get all of our deities to go there and hide? Because, as Malady stated, there might be some gods who would be kind of overlooked by Goros, and perhaps some of their planes.
Okay.
Really good idea.
Although putting them all in one place might be dangerous.
While it might, I feel like they'd be better, they'd be stronger together than apart.
But think about us right now. We're all sitting in one singular place, knowing doom is coming, and literally knows our address, and we're all just like, let's take a nap. Right? No one's with me? All right. But I really want to see you have a meeting with everybody, because I think that's going to be a really beautiful moment.
So which do you want to do first? His meeting? Actually, let's do yours, because that might not take quite as long. So, yes, Ignis actually defers to you and lets you lead this because it was your idea. So she's letting you take point. Nevia is there. Pandora, the tiefling druid, is there. And we'll put another nine warriors that are there, various paladins and clerics. And you present the idea of like a forgotten plane or a lesser known plane.
Yeah. So basically, I would say, right now, keeping our icons safe has become just as paramount as keeping ourselves safe. Because without them, not only do we not have power or magic, but the effects could be incredibly broad-based. If we can find an icon that is either not as powerful or forgotten or just not as greatly worshipped, we can perhaps explain to the gods what has happened. And explain that to the icons, that if they go here, they might be safer than staying on their plane where Goros is sure to find them. And find them fractured. He was able to take four icons with very little trouble.
There's another dragonborn there. Another one of the other clerics. And, well, everyone makes fun of me for my icon, but there's a reason why no one takes him seriously. And while he's speaking, I shouldn't even say him, why no one takes them seriously. In my world, icons are gender neutral. Raz, icon of the secret, icon of secrets. But ain't no one exactly. See that face you just made? Exactly. No one's ever heard of him.
I did make a face. And, for those listening at home, I did in fact make a face.
You went along.
And if Goros is tearing ass through the plane, through the astral planes, I think that one of the best places to hide would be in the material or outside of the astrals. And Dara over here might have something to say about that. And sitting next to him, you see a female satyr, who
it's like half goat, half person. Right?
Half goat, half person.
Yeah.
Who you've seen of the druidic persuasion. Well. I've always found one of the best places to hide is for me to go home. And you would know with your path, just how smart you are, she means the Feywild. I mean, if anyone's got any better ideas, go right ahead and suggest them, but...
I'm losing the plot. So there's a guy named Raz in the Feywild?
She's saying you can use Raz as your,
icon.
That's the word I'm looking for. As your line of communication. Get word to him, round everybody up, and get them to the Feywild. That's kind of what they're suggesting.
Got it. Yes, I'd say let's put the plan in motion.
I mean, just tell me what to say. I'll commune tonight.
I would also say to please, if it's possible, to reach out to those who worshipped the Rain Queen and the other icons for the dwarves. Please do, because they are very lost right now, and we need their power.
Other than Talios, I'm not sure, but I'll put the word out best I can.
Please.
So we need to tell everybody, the Dwarven gods are dead, you are in trouble, get to the Feywild, stay safe.
Contact Raz.
Raz.
And Raz will...
Keep your secret.
Keep your secret and get you to the Feywilds.
I mean, a god of secrets... in this hour is pretty much on point.
Keep your secrets, keep you safe.
All right, so will bounce from that meeting to the one Brasslands wants to have with you.
Okay.
Ignis and Nevia will leave with you because they're also going to be in that meeting.
Okay.
Which is up in Brasslands' suite. His automatons are serving refreshments. And you now see he's got like a wall safe opened up and there are just blunderbusses, pepper boxes. You've seen his automaton spider. There's like a dozen of them at the bottom of the safe. Like he is getting all of his toys out because he knows what's coming.
Mm.
Well, then he looks from left to right at his other team. The ones that you met and have been kind of escorting you guys around the city. We seem to be a bit of an impasse as far as what we're going to do with... Hang on, I was going harsher there for a second. We seem to be at a bit of an impasse as far as what we're going to do with defending the city from these dragons that are on the way. Half of my team wants to stay in the city, fortify and defend it.
Mm-hmm.
The other half wants to take the fight to them and meet them outside.
Fight.
What say all of you?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Orchestrion, in his bard language, is basically saying, like, that just sounds like a good battle plan. The people outside can flank those attacking the city. And then the ones inside can fortify.
Great sort of...
Really? Battle. Has it been that simple? We could have just done that?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just a guy that plays a little medieval guitar here.
And,
do we have enough people to split?
Pandora speaks up and she says, that's my concern. Staying inside the city has several advantages. Like, we're strategically positioned, we've got defensible architecture, it would make it very difficult for the worms to breach. Keeps us close to our stockpile weapons and supplies, everything is centralized, better communication, better coordination. Plus, home field advantage has something to say about that. On the other side, the human barbarian speaks up. I'm concerned about our forces, too. That's why I say we should all concentrate on getting outside the city. Take the fight to them. Disrupt their forces. Catch them off guard. Avoiding the prolonged attrition of a siege.
I think the problem with that is that if they see everybody leaving, in order to make a real fight of it, we all have to leave. Leaving our non-combatants literally helpless. By leaving them behind, we could be dooming them immediately to death.
Because they won't... They'll target the easiest target.
They won't. And then, we're all out in the woods by ourselves. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We're all out there by ourselves, and they just destroyed our home, and now we're sitting ducks.
This is exactly what happened with our camp when we found the structure.
That's true. Is this how they think? Are they going to do it again?
Draw us out so they can slaughter the innocents.
Maybe instead of drawing out half the city, you just send in a team, just some of us, you know, scouting, patrol, special forces, whatever you want to call it.
Make a guerrilla unit.
I've got a lot of great warriors here inside the city, but you guys have been out there, boots on the ground. We've been inside, just locking down, fortifying. You guys have been out there with your noses in it, so... Honestly, I'm going to defer to your opinions here.
I'm afraid of going out there and leaving you guys helpless. If we only have enough for one or the other, I say you guys stay here. That's my opinion. Because he's absolutely right. That's what they did to us before. They pulled the strongest of us out into the woods. Complete diversion. Complete diversion. When by the time we got back, there were people who were dead. And there was the freaking dragon running around.
That was when it was an actual diversion. This time we could actually set them up for an ambush.
True. We will have to keep in mind, though, that these are dragons we're dealing with, and fortification can become shrapnel very quickly.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons. There's pros and cons to every plan.
Pretty much. So, I want this to be player-driven, so...
All right.
DM talking, like, do you guys want to fight this shit outside the city, or do you want to stay in the city? And I just need to know which of the two tracks... I'm sending at you.
I vote we stay in the city.
You want to stay in?
I want to stay in. There's no good option here, but there I feel isn't. Stay here. At least we are able to get to our people sooner. When they said that they were going to tear Brasslands' home apart, they know where they are. This is not a hidden spot. They wanted to come here to obliterate us.
Right, and since we know where they're coming, we can do our best to set an ambush.
Brasslands.
They may be expecting that, but, I mean, what else are we going to do? Meet them at the door, invite them in?
In which case, I'll make one suggestion. I'll make one suggestion, and I go to Malady. Uh-huh. Remember your, what's it called now? The graffiti on the floor. The sigil?
Yeah.
That was a teleportation, correct?
Yes.
Can you make another one?
I can teleport now without it.
Ah! How many?
Once.
How many people?
Oh, I gotta check it. It's not that many, it's like six.
If you're thinking what I think you're thinking, Orchestrion, I might have that covered.
What? Speak.
A back door to get non-combatants out?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Thank you.
Tell me.
How about I show you? And he leans back over to the halfling bard, Melly. Have Bervain meet me at the pod.
Pod?
Four of you, come with me. You too, Thomas. And one of the spiders comes to life.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Me and
Ava. Oh, thanks for the drink, Lionel.
Hey, yeah. And he leads you down two flights of stairs to underneath Laughter's Chapel. And it's effectively like a basement. He says, wait one second, he's always late. And after a few minutes, down the stairs comes this halfling in mage's robes. Ah, Bervain, good of you to join us. Sorry, sir, I was up topside enjoying my dinner. What can I do for you?
Oh, I keep taking a shit. Go ahead, what?
No, nothing. I just wanted you. Anyway, get over here. This is Bervain. Bervain helped me design this. Oh, yes, of course. And Bervain waves his hand, and there's like a part of the room that was like a blackened, like dark corner of a basement. Mm. That immediately the mirage drops, and you can see there's like a sectioned off part of the room that lights up, and there's a large sigil on the floor, which you recognize as a teleportation circle.
Woohoo!
If you don't mind, Bervain.
Oh, yes, sir. So this fits. This only fits about 16 people at a time. And it takes me a minute to do it, but if 16 people get in there, in 1 minute, I can teleport them out to the other end of that sigil.
Which is?
About a mile outside of Dragonthrone. General Arya always has our scouts meet us whenever we need to send someone out. We've done it before.
Okay, so I can shorten that time 6 times.
You can shorten that time 6 times. Yes, okay.
What's the spell? Do I know the spell? Can I learn the spell?
It's a teleport spell. It's a variation of teleportation. Teleportation circle.
Come here, give it to me.
Hold on. And he gets out his spell book. No, hold on. No, no, that's not for you.
Now I want to know. Give it to me.
Privacy. Boundaries.
There's no boundaries in wizardry. Everyone knows everything about everything. Come on. Okay.
And there's about 200 non-combatants in the city.
Okay.
So at 16 a time, it would take him about, what was that, like 13 castings to get this out? A minute each time, he would need about a half hour just to be safe, to make sure everyone's lined up and queued.
Why don't we just do it now? Why can't we get them out now? We know they're coming.
We can, if you want to. We can get them out right now.
All right, so here you go. Here's your story. We get everybody out now, send them off, tell Arya to meet them, and then we lay the trap here.
But if they're coming from the air,
you're literally Melody sending people out without protection, and that's kind of the exact
right.
opposite of
what a you mile from a city that's
but that
oh, yeah Dragonthrone is like right now you're in Chicago, Dragonthrone's New York.
Ah,
just to give you an idea of the geography.
So yeah, we're okay. Sending them to Brooklyn,
but that may change their target, and instead of heading here, they may head there.
But then how are they going to know that they're there?
Amongst yourselves.
The same way they just might know we're here. Spies.
Just seeing them.
No, but I'm saying this is hundreds of miles away.
No.
We're sending them.
He's sending them a mile away.
No,
a mile.
We are in Chicago. They're in New York. And they're going It'd to be teleported like an hour outside New York.
Got it.
So we're sending them to Brooklyn and we're in Chicago.
No. No, I misunderstood the first place.
Dragonthrone, we're in... Babe, where are we?
Blackgate.
We're in Blackgate.
Dragon Throne is New York.
Yes.
The teleportation circle is a 1 mile
outside of Dragon Throne.
Outside of Dragon Throne.
Yeah. Black Gate and Dragon Throne are like
Two different cities.
So we're sending them really far with this teleportation thing.
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
That's how teleportation circle works. You can teleport to the other end of the circle. That's like connected. The two sigils connect, sort of like
Bugs Bunny hole.
Yeah, yeah. And the other end of the hole is a mile outside of Dragon Throne. It's also how Arya and I have been communicating.
How safe is it? Can we talk to Arya? Should I send casting? Should I talk to Arya?
You certainly can if you wish. I mean, she's never fun to talk to, but.
What should I say? Oh, I can cast sending.
Okay.
Arya, how you holding up? Are you ready to take about 200 non-combatives within the next day or so? Because it's getting pretty bad here. Pretty bad.
You didn't get here because it's getting pretty bad.
Pretty bad. That's my next message.
The message comes, the reply comes back. Just dandy. Who the fuck is this?
Wow. Wasting all of her time.
If you're with Brasslands, yeah, I can take them. Gonna be tight, but I'll make it work. Am I assuming it's on then? Who is this?
This is Malady.
Are you casting it again?
Yeah. This is Malady. I am with Brasslands. It's on like Donkey Kong. Which is a specific type of reference that you might not understand.
Wow. All
right. Tell Tynalec to send them. We'll be ready.
Okay. So we feel that when we get them out there and going to a safe place.
I'm good with it.
You're good with it?
Yeah. They're expected and have a place to go, then sure.
I say get them out now.
Before they have to rush out.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Why are we going to wait, right?
Why do it under duress?
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. Let's go find Brasslands.
Well, you're there with Brasslands. He's there with Brevane. Yeah.
So I'm going to noodles Brasslands. Brasslands, she says, let's do this. I recommend we do it now.
All right. We'll make it happen. And he sets out, and scouts go out, and the rest of the, I'll say the next 2 to 3 hours is spent rounding up the non-combatants and their gear, and they begin forming a queue inside Laughter's Chapel.
I think while they're taking care of that, would be a good time for us to rest up.
I agree.
Get in fighting shape, because
it's probably like we 2 o'clock in the morning now.
At tip top.
I want to go try to find Derek. Can I find Derek?
Sure. He is... A lot of the actual combatants are sort of acting like ticket takers at an amusement park, just making sure everyone is lined up orderly. No one's being militant about it. It's just everyone just sort of milling about like, oh, come on, no cutting. Come on, everyone's going to get their turn. Just relax. And just sort of, Derek is like towards the back of the line, helping with that.
Okay.
No, it's all right. Come on, you're going to be fine, kid.
I'm going to walk over to Derek.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Malady?
You're doing a very good job.
Thanks.
You're going to be on the last one out of here, right?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are.
Uh-uh.
Yes, you are. Derek?
No.
Why?
You guys gave me this. You didn't give me this to run away with.
Okay, but we gave you that to protect innocent people, right?
Yeah.
So those are all the innocent people going through the gate. So you got to go protect them over there.
I think you need me more here.
I need you always. But right now, I think that they need you a lot, too. Why don't you go with them? And then as soon as we can, we will be meeting you. A Dragon Throne. You're too important to be here. I'm honestly not lying to you.
Make a persuasion check.
Oh, fuck. Oh, and my plus zero. All right, I'm going to roll my real good die. 18.
I feel like you're always pushing me to the back.
No, I'm not pushing you to the back. Your time will come. Your time will come. And honestly, this is more important than what we're doing. We might fail, but protecting the people of this world is more important. Everybody has skills. Do you think I pick up a hammer? No.
All right, Malady.
I'll go with the last group.
Thank you. I know better than to pick up a sword. I know better than to pick up a violin.
All right.
You're going to have a real chance to be a real hero with that axe. Or whatever the hell it is.
It's a great axe. You guys gave him a great axe. Off of an orc you killed.
And I'm going to kind of be like, come here, come here. And I'm going to give him a little hug.
All right.
I'll see you really soon.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go to bed.
Okay.
Per Ashley's requirement.
If there's nothing else, we can call that a long rest.
Yes, please.
Sure. And a break.